time for fun? Spring is sprung. It's Was That in Good Taste? Spring!
The spring episode.
With your host, James Beery.
And I'm Chandler Phillips.
And this week, we're going to be talking about spring, nostalgia, and of course, enjoying a delicious spring beverage.
A delightful white sangria brought to us by you.
Oh.
You brought us this white sangria.
Oh. But you know what?
What's that?
There's one thing about spring.
What's the thing?
I make the most friends. Liking, commenting, subscribing. That's how we make friends.
Oh, that's a good friend acquisition.
It's the best
format.
You ever just okay? Have you ever just met somebody and just been like, "Hey, we need to become friends." What's the cocktail you give them?
That's true. A sangria is the most friend making, because usually you got to get it in a pitcher full, and then you're like, "Oh, whoops! I got this pitcher of sangria. It's delightful and fruity and juicy and amazing and delicious." If only I had a good friend to share it with.
This is so beautiful. This week, we're going to be talking about our spring histories, our spring stories, because you got here two spring babies. Yeah. It's April true. 1st?
April 30th.
April 30th. And actually, I've been wanting to do sangria again for a long time. The last time we did it, I felt like we didn't do a great job, and it wasn't on video. That you can go listen. So this week, we have ourselves a spring sangria. Look at this. Look how beautiful this is.
Oh, it's gorgeous. What are some of the key factors, the key things of a spring sangria? Because we would say it's a white sangria, but it's really more orange.
Yeah, it is orangey.
What's that all about? What's that deal?
Well, I think that has to do with the fruit that's in it, okay? So, one, this is how you can make yourself a simple sangria. You can go to the store. They sell a big box of it. You can put it into a thing. You can throw some sort of brandy or something in it, right? And then you can put fruit in it. What we did is we got ourselves, what was the wine again? What style of wine?
It was a Vino Regionale from Lab Wineries in Portugal.
A white wine, fresh fruit. Then it is fortified with either a brandy. This time it was with a liqueur.
And what kind of liqueur
did we go with?
Because I think that's actually a really key part of the sangria.
And we put in 99 bananas to fortify this, which is effectively, it's like a liqueur. It's kind of a
hefty liqueur.
It's not really brandy though, because it's artificially flavored, right? It's like schnapps.
I think a brandy can be artificially flavored. It's just, I think the base spirit of it has to be fruit based, but because it's just banana flavored and it's not made.
What do you think it's made from?
Probably vodka.
Maybe.
Or I guess like some sort of, it might be a brandy base. So it might excited. Be a grape base. That would make sense.
Look how absolutely beautiful this is. I am so big on spring. Hold on. Can I take a huge sip of this? So what I want to do is I want to take a sip of this. Mm-hmm. Do you know anything about sangria?
I know some about sangria.
Tell them to some while I chug this.
Well, according to our show notes, sangria comes from the Latin term bloodletting in Spanish and Portuguese. A term sangria used for the drink can be traced back to the 18th century, and it just kind of refers to a general fortified wine punch, and it's served at numerous gatherings and occasions, but is definitively a party drink. It's one that you have ready and on hand when you're having guests over, or something that you'd serve in a punch bowl style, which I think we haven't really featured a whole lot of punches. And sangria is kind of its own niche of punch because it features wine in it. Where not a lot of punches have wine, a lot of wine packs punches.
That's definitely true. It's beautiful. It's easy to make. It's really fun. All you have to do is get the white or red wine of your choice. Throw in some fresh fruit. You can throw some sugar in there. Put in some brandy. Add some wine. And top with a club soda or a lemon lime soda to bring it all together. If you try this, comment below. Let us know how it went. The reason why I want to do sangria is, I don't know about for you. Mm-hmm. But for me, I always grew up wanting to do brunch, right? I always wanted to do brunch. Yeah. I didn't know about brunch. I didn't know brunch was really a thing, but I always wanted to participate in like fucking do brunch. So I grew up or whatever. And I was like, yo, now that I have money, I'm going to go
do brunch.
And I'm going to have brunch. And at brunch, they only have like three things.
Yeah.
And one of them is always a Bloody Mary.
Mm-hmm.
They have mimosa.
Yeah.
And they'll have sangria.
Oh. Because usually it'll be interchangeable, sangria or paloma. But sangria is the large format if you come in with like a party of five or more.
Mm-hmm, mm-hmm.
They're like, oh, well, get a pitcher of sangria. It's usually better on the cost end because you just have to pour your own drinks at that point.
I went with my ex to this awesome, awesome place in Manhattan. It was like a drag show. It was super cool. It was for some old coworker of ours. It was her birthday. It was like mad cool. And I had never been to like a Bahamas brunch before. It was the first time. I had never been before. And I was like, yo, I was working at Starbucks in 2014. I had never been to brunch. And I was like, wow, this is like really cool. And I remember I didn't know what to order. So I asked my girlfriend. I said, hey, like, what do I order? She's like, well, what do you like? And I'm like, well, we usually get whiskey and Coke. So we go to the bar after work because we went to the bar after work a lot. And I was like, okay. But they don't have that. They have Bloody Marys. And that doesn't sound good. And she was like, you should try some sangria. And I was like, I've always wanted to try sangria. And it was red. And it was so delicious.
Red sangria is, I think it's the more recognizable of the sangrias, but it is delicious. At one of my previous places of employment, we had a red sangria. And whenever I was clearing tables, I never did it, but I was quite tempted. My God. I was quite tempted to be like, I'll take that pitcher and, you know, maybe you just kind of collect all the sangria pitchers into one. And then, boom, you got yourselves a little sangria. I never did it, but the thought crossed my mind an uncomfortable amount of times. And maybe I should have lived a little. Maybe I should have stopped putting myself in this little bubble and feeling so like, oh, I can't do this. I can't do that. No, drink on the job. And if you're working in food service, drink the drinks that your customers leave behind because they're not going to drink it. It's like, you can't take it with you. It's like, spend all your money now. That way you can die happy instead of with a 401k.
Do you have any, so it's interesting. I picked this for a reason. Do you have any drinks or cocktails that you have any strong memories attached to? Because really the spring episode is an episode about memories, right? Specifically, like memories just before summer, at the end of school year, that's what the memories of spring are. And I picked this because I have personally a positive association with sangria. What's yours? Do you have a positive cocktail or something?
I've never actually had it, but this is the cocktail that when I saw appear in my family fridge, I knew spring had sprung, and that was Bartles and James wine spritzers. Is that the right word? I just know it had the big B and the big J, and usually like those kind of sleek, like, you know, those early 2000s, 90s bottles where it kind of like it didn't have like the regular bottle neck shape.
Oh, yeah,
it was
just
kind of like,
yeah.
And then, yeah, once those started popping up in the fridge, it was almost time for school to get out. Like, it was almost summer.
Were drinking them?
No, it was just when I saw them. It was like the groundhog of beverages. And once you saw it come out of its burrow, you're like, oh, it's springtime. Which, by the way, the whole groundhog thing, as like, that's the deciding factor for what, because we had Groundhog Day a while ago. That's in February, right?
Yes, we did. And it said that this year that winter was going to be longer. It's by 2 weeks, right?
it's by 6 weeks.
You see the look on your face? You were like, what? The groundhog was, you know, I personally put a lot of stock in groundhogs. Stocks? Groundhogs? Up!
They're going up.
They're going to the moon, Jerry!
But come winter, they're going back down. That's how groundhogs work. I think it is interesting what kind of wine that you put in a sangria. Because as we were saying, a red wine is definitely the traditional one. And like, you go with like a red table wine, something that's just kind of generally appetizing and preferably one that comes in a box, because then you can just kind of like do an infinity sangria thing where you just like Oh, I'm almost out of juice to wine ratio. Throw a little bit more wine in there. Oh, no, now it's a little too strong. Better add some more juice. And then you just kind of, it all balances out. It's about harmony, and it's about finding that momentary bliss in the balance of sweet to heat. And granted, it's not a spicy heat. It's like a boozy heat. You know what I mean?
It's a little, it's so funny because it's a little trashy. I know a lot of recipes say to put like, but you see, we have Sprite here. I wanted to try 7-Up in mine. And you'll always see, it's like wine, fresh fruit.
Oh.
Brandy.
Brandy.
And about, and just a shit, put a fuck ton of Sprite.
I think we were pretty discerning. We just like hit it with a little top.
Well, we actually did put way less than if you go out.
Yeah.
Which is why I think ours tastes boozier. I think ours tastes more like the wine, but I think that also makes it more fun. And I'm so happy we got to do this because when it comes to like memories, when it comes to, I'm really glad we got to do this because when it comes to building memories and having memories and sharing experiences, for me, sangria is the one.
That's the formative beverage.
It is. Now, we can't talk about this too long because spring is not going to be around that much longer.
if it even ever is here for real, like spring is one of those seasons where you only ever think about it in anticipation or having just left it, like nostalgically, you're like, oh, remember when it was spring and we weren't miserable going outside?
As a spring baby, what are your feelings about spring?
Oh.
By the way, if you're sitting here right now, if you are sitting here right now and you're saying to yourself, am I watching a podcast about spring? The answer is yes, you are. Mm-hmm. But you're going to enjoy yourself and it's going to be funny. So come on. Come on.
Take a seat. Pull up a seat.
There's a little bit here for you. How do you feel about spring?
What I think is interesting about spring is that
we're gonna talk about the weather next.
It's really hard to nail down what the vibe of spring is, especially because like with other seasons, at least there's like kind of musical accompaniment. Like you can pin down what a summer song is, like a summertime. Exactly. Or like anything Anderson .Paak writes, that is a summer song. Mm-hmm, mm-hmm. Even a late August, almost fall. And then you get into like an autumnal kind of musical vibe. That's going to be, I think, a little bit more dirt, dusty road. Like it's a little bit more folksy.
I'm too goth. The minute the leaves start falling off the tree, Nightmare Before Christmas is on, and Christmas tunes are right there right after.
Oh, see... Have we talked about this, about how the Nightmare Before Christmas is just kind of like a litmus test of like, is it a Christmas movie? Is it a Halloween movie? Does it even know? Do you know while you're watching it if you're watching a Christmas or Halloween movie? But spring is hard to nail down because spring is so multifaceted.
Huh. Okay. Continue.
Well, because the beginning of spring, you're still kind of in that like, reclusive winter hibernation state where it's tentative. The spring has such a tentative entry. Like it's never really a boom, spring is here and then it's out and it's proud. Spring has like it dips a toe. We had a weekend where it was 60s or high 60s, low 70s. And it's like, oh, is it, is it springtime? Is this it?
Are you saying that spring is a tease?
Spring is a bit of a tease. We've had multiple false springs, and it's not even April yet. We have had multiple weeks where it has gone in succession, whatever the one that means one right after another, and not the one that means one that's separating itself from the others. But it would be like warm, lovely, sunshine, high spirits, people outside, people barbecuing. I smelled barbecues in February and it was great.
For one day.
And then it's raining and storming and it's cloud cover and it's brittle or not. It's brisk, not brisk. What's
brisk. I think it's brisk.
What's the term for like when the cold is like biting at you?
Brick?
Yeah.
It's brick.
It's brick.
Yo, how long have you been in New York? This is important to the topic of the show, I promise.
I've been in New York 5 years now.
Since you've been here, we've had variety.
My first spring here was probably the most self-assured spring. It was the most springy of the springs, where it was like there and it owned itself, you know, because we had the whole polar vortex thing beforehand, where it was like, I don't know, negative 12 degrees in February, and that was not cool.
Okay, it was like negative 3, but that's cold for New York.
And I'm coming from the West Coast. It doesn't get that hot.
Especially, you were living in Manhattan. There's a lot of tall buildings. The wind was goes whipping. Crazy. Yeah, yeah, yeah.
It was cold. It was frosty, and I did not like it one bit. But then the sun comes out, and you're like, oh, okay, I can photosynthesize to this. And I personally was able to kind of feel myself start to put up roots, you know, where I found employment, I found friendship, I found camaraderie, and there was this blossoming of a sociality and just a new life for myself that I was able to create in my first spring here.
When did we meet?
Like May.
Oh.
Yeah. And like 2019 in May.
That actually makes a lot of sense, because we knew each other for almost a year when the pandemic happened.
Yeah. Well, and that brings me to the following spring.
Oh, boy.
When it was real cold, real, not as cold, but it was dry. It was a dry cold, so it wasn't that bad. But then at the end of February, there were inklings that something might happen, and then the entire world shut down. Mainly, my entire world shut down in Manhattan because of the COVID, and you were there too, and so your entire world shut down too, and then I evacuated.
You abandoned me.
Yeah. Yeah, I did. I feel a little guilty, but
I wouldn't. You were in fucking California.
And that was a nice spring. That was it was a very manic. I feel like spring is manic, where it's a little like, when it's good, it's really good. When it's bad, it's just kind of like, ugh. I don't want to do anything. I want to rot. And I think that's the nuanced dichotomy of spring, where it's either you're in kind of this like weird holding stage, where you're like, do I wait for things to get better? And then when things are better, there's almost like this impulse to try to do everything all at once, because it's you finally have the opportunity to try to make something. You can make something. And hopefully you make it better by the time summer comes, because when summer comes, then you can either keep rocking with that momentum, or it's too hot outside to do anything.
What weather is spring supposed to have? Because I feel like that's the problem, right? We spend a lot of time talking about spring.
Yeah.
Talking about what spring means, about the feelings, about the vibes, song, spring song. Spring musical, Annie. The sun will come out tomorrow. Tell me that's not how you feel during the spring. You wake up, it's cold, you go, huh, the sun will come out tomorrow. Bet your Bob Dollar that tomorrow.
Tomorrow?
There'll be a sun.
Yep. Tomorrow?
Tomorrow.
There's always tomorrow.
Tomorrow's always a day away.
But I don't like that feeling that I find myself falling into, where when you get into this mentality of like, well, tomorrow, it'll be a better day tomorrow. And then every day,
then it's summer.
And then the next thing you know, then it's winter again. And you're just like, oh, nothing's changed. Nothing's better. There is tomorrow, hopefully, or there's not, or just tomorrow never comes.
Does school end during the spring?
I think it's right. Oh, given how it's like March 20 or not March, it's like May, late 20s or early June.
Right? It's effectively spring.
I guess technically.
Because I feel like.
But it's summer break.
It's always like 3 days into summer, though.
Yeah.
And here's, I don't know. For me, before.
That's a tough one. And also with the year-round schedules these days, I don't.
Before summer, I used to always go outside. You hang out with your friends. So some of my greatest, for me, spring is like important. Because for a lot of my personal moments are like just tied into spring. And I feel like maybe even for you, because we share a birthday month. Mm-hmm. But it's interesting.
It's my birthday on the first of the month.
Oh my God.
So it's like,
but I'm older than you.
But it's my birth month.
So I was born first. So,
but it's my month though. Cause I started it and you can finish it. But
for your birthday, Chandler, around or at your birthday, mm-hmm. What's up with that? Well, you ever do anything cool? Like, I know it seems so strange, but like, I you want to know what? I want to do episode of spring.
Done cool stuff.
I want to do stuff on spring because my birthday is like in spring.
Yours is the heart of spring.
And I literally, so everything, my mother taking me to movies. So when I go to movies, to me, movies feel like springtime. Because I remember my mother taking me. My mother would always say, oh, do you want to have a party or do you want to go to the movies? And maybe this is not good, but I would always choose just to have my mother because I always thought that nobody would come. Oh. I thought nobody would like me. I thought that nobody would want to be there. So I would always go to the movies. So when I go to the movies, which is a lot, I feel like this connection to my mother. Spring is kind of like my ex, 420.
Hey.
Right? That's when we met. You saw at mm-hmm. the, you know, in like 2007. Spring has somehow been the absolute center of my existence. And
that's so sweet.
I think it's because summer in the city is energy, right?
Yeah.
I have a lot of anxiety, and I like the summer. I like summer a lot, but it's like it's fun, it's loud, it's energetic, it's going. Winter is cold and harsh and isolating, and I already feel alone, so I don't want to feel more alone, right? Mm-hmm. Fall, we're gonna talk about that some other time.
God, I love the fall
because I don't want to say nothing negative about fall, but spring, it feels hopeful. The beginning of spring comes and it's too cold and you start getting warm days. And then the hope builds because it's like four cold days and a warm day. Then it's two cold days and two warm days.
That's a very positive way of looking at it, where it's like you're gaining more warm days.
Until climate change. Because spring don't know what it is. And we're barely going to have one probably going forward.
Spring's because getting shorter and shorter.
Yeah, because the weather, you could check this for yourself. You see, what's happening is that the cold air coming from the Arctic is less consistent. So instead of it passing in huge waves, it's like a sine wave, and we're getting hot, cold, hot, cold. And so we're starting to drift away from the mild hoodie weather.
So that's what I loved about spring back in the past. You know, when things were better, everything's better in the past. And when we had like just my, now it seems like there's not just like hoodies and jeans weather. It's either like my favorite, honestly, is hoodies and shorts, like a pair of like Dockers kind of shorts, or like something that you would wear around a beach, but not in the water. Kind of shorts, and then you have a hoodie to because it's breezy still, but it's a.
You feel like I'm judging you.
Are you not?
No, because the weather shift has made me wear a coat, jeans, gloves, and Crocs. The weather is so inconsistent. Yeah. The weather is so wild.
It's kind of inconsiderate weather.
I'm kind of scared. actually.
About?
I've tricked you.
Oh.
I've roped you into a conversation about climate change.
Oh. Oh no.
I'm scared about what's coming.
I'm scared about what's going.
You're from the West Coast. Since you're from the West Coast, can you tell me what it's... I'm really trying to figure out how to word this. Since you're from the West Coast, can you tell me what your experiences with spring have been in the West Coast versus in New York? As I drink my second and then third glass of sangria, Mr. One Glass.
Spring in the West Coast, I will describe as you can go to the lake. You can go kayaking on the lake, but you would not go in the lake. And I think that kind of, like, you can be outdoorsy, you can be out and about, you can be doing stuff that's fun in nature. However, you don't want to kind of submerge yourself into it yet because it's still cold and it's still tentative, I guess would be a good word.
Is it still like that, though? Is it? I know that.
I mean, I haven't lived there in a while, but.
Oh, you were there during the summer.
Yeah. It's to quote Stained, it's been a while. And
I think I just still feel hurt because you were gone for so long that one time.
I was gone till September.
You were gone for a really long time.
It was a minute.
It feels like so long that I remember it today. So you haven't even experienced it. What about in the past compared to what you're experiencing here? Because I have a theory that the springs that you experienced in California are more similar to the springs in New York,
yeah,
as they were.
Because I was in the valley of Northern California, which doesn't have as drastic seasonal changes as it does here, but it also doesn't have as consistent as like the Southern California or even just coastal California as people may be familiar with. So like we had our ups and downs. What I associate with spring the most is Little League tryouts and the beginning of like specifically baseball season, because there was always some pressure to perform well. Like I had to start doing some spring training, whether it was just like going to the park and like throwing the ball around with either some friends or my brother or my dad or whoever. And there was always like kind of the music montage of I'll Make a Man Out of You, but it's just the beginning part where it's just let's get down to business. And that's
the defeat. You can't start it. I can't not do the whole thing. To defeat
the Huns. They send me daughters. When I asked for sons, get ready for the rage of war to combat the hunting. I lost the words. How could I? But that, I think that's
make a man out of you. Dun, dun,
dun, dun. Standardized testing. That's another key element of spring. Mm-hmm. I feel like spring is.
Wait, you have that in California?
Yeah, we have
the Regents here.
I don't know what that means.
Yeah, it's like the Regents board, and they make like a series of tests. And so you take your Regents. So at the end of the year, you take your math Regents, your English. This is how it was. I don't know how it is now. Your math Regents, your English Regents, etc.
I think it changed a couple of times, but star test. It was called the star test. I don't know what it stands for. Maybe the R.
It's only one.
Might have been.
Was it only one test?
It was one collection of tests.
Like the SAT?
No, it would be like a week of star testing.
You ever take the SAT? Did you take the SAT?
Yeah, I took the SATs.
I didn't.
You didn't?
I never took the SAT.
What? How did this not come up in our college episode?
Because I told you that I...
Which you can check out on our...
Because I told you that I didn't finish school in New York.
But you still didn't take the SATs and
no,
you get a GED.
I told you that because I had to leave New York to move my mother in the South. So we moved in the spring before I was supposed to graduate
from college York, or from high school.
From high school. It was from. Oh. That's what happened. That's why.
I thought then you had to finish at. wherever you were.
No, we couldn't really because stuff was happening. We had to evacuate due to personal things from South Carolina to Georgia.
So wait, you know, do you ever take the ACT? No,
never.
Wow,
I've seen it. I've actually tutored people to take it.
I know of it. Yeah, I've taken all the standardized tests. I've taken a lot of tests.
I never did.
Ever?
Nope.
Forever? Ever?
Nope.
Forever?
My spring is full of lies and deception. Because I literally used to lie to people and tell people I took. Because here's the thing.
Scandalo.
I got into college. Why did I take the test for?
I mean, you're technically correct, but.
What? Nobody in your life is like, you got a 1600 on the SATs or whatever.
Oh, well, that's because I got a 1740, but.
Oh my God. 2200 or whatever. You know, like, nobody asks that. Nobody.
Nobody, except colleges. Aren't they the ones who, like, ask for that kind of stuff?
Not if you're smart enough and your grades are good enough. And
Well, there you go. Deception.
Somebody's going to be in the comments like, well, actually, I remember in 2000. Fuck you. You don't know where I went to school.
You don't know me.
That's why spring is crazy. Because for me, spring is good. But it's also a little bad.
Because of trials and tribulations?
Because of tribulations and trials. What? Don't put words in my mouth.
What kind of trials and... What are the negative associations you have to spring? Because you're talking about love and lust and yearning. But what were you running towards?
I never liked summer. Because when I'd had a really hard time in school, as I'd mentioned before. And so after going to multiple high schools, finally finding a school where you have friends, and then the summer comes.
Aww.
And the first two summers, I just didn't talk to my friends until I went to school that year. They were like, why do you always vanish during summer? And I was like, I didn't know that you guys wanted to hang out with me. I do it to myself. If you want to know who I am.
I self-isolated because, well, I thought if I didn't want to hang out with me, no one else would.
Oh my God. It's fucking crazy. I literally moved away right in the spring. And I had told my friends for 2 years. I said, one of these days, I'm just going to move. Tell me how. I didn't tell them when it was happening. I just moved and called them.
Is that really trials and tribulations or is that you being dramatic as fuck?
It's called self-harm, okay?
Oh no, the consequences of my actions. I that is tough to navigate as a youth. And so I won't give you too much shit. But I'll give you some.
Yeah, so whenever I think about spring, that's what I think about. What about you, Chandler?
I think about spawning season. It's the season when...
That's hot. Please continue.
Steelhead trout and sockeye salmon and other various estuary fish. I forget what... I think it's like... Is it biennial? No. Diurnal? There's a term for fish that are born in freshwater, then they migrate eventually out to either saltwater or estuaries, hang out in there for a little bit, and then come spawning season, they swim upstream, and it's kind of sick. Like, it's super dope to see, like, some of the watersheds when... Because I grew up near a creek, and... Every now and then I'd go fishing at the creek and you'd catch like bluegill or like just the little fishies. And one time me and my friends were chilling at the creek, smoking one down. Cause that's as we want to do. And we did what we wanted to do. And I'd been fishing at this creek countless times, but this particular time I didn't bring any of my gear. For fishing, at least. I brought all the smoking gear. And
As you were like, you got this, I'm going to go, a little thing of scoop, I got extra filters.
I got hooks. Extra paper. But that's for...
Oh, yeah.
And I was pretty, I had a separate tackle box, but we're sitting there and I see something just kind of moving up towards our way on the creek. And I'm like, that's weird. That's swimming upstream. Is that some sort of log caught in a vortex or is that something? And I saw it for but a split second. It was not a Loch Ness monster, as one might assume. It was a full, like, 4-foot steelhead trout. The creek itself is only about 6 feet across. And this thing is swimming in about, like, 8 inches of water. Whole dorsal fin, everything out of it. And I wanted to go catch it. And so instead of just trying to clear through the brush and try to catch it, instead I ran up about, like, 20 yards ahead of it and thought, okay, it's swimming upstream. I'm going to cut it off where there's like this little kind of downturned log. And so it'll have to come up over the log and I'll catch it there. And I waited and I waited in the water and I waited for like 20 minutes until I couldn't feel my ankles anymore. I missed the rest of the rotation for this. There was still like a good 2/3 of a joint left.
Oh my God.
And I insisted. I'm like, no, no, no. You guys go ahead. I'm going to catch this steelhead trout. And that has been my white whale to this day. No one ever believes me that I saw this river monster coming up the creek. And I tells them to this day, I said, it was there. And had I caught it, y'all would have shat bricks. But unfortunately, I didn't catch it. Nobody shat bricks.
I believe you.
They have since published like little local newspaper articles about how vital that creek is for salmon and steelhead trout spawning. And to which I have then posted that in the group chat and been like, see, I'm not crazy. It's possible. And then they just say, where's the fish? And then I cry a little bit on the inside.
I don't like steelhead trout.
Why not?
I'm biphobic. But only gets fish.
But only. I'm bi fish phobic.
Wait.
I think now that I'm saying it, biurnal, I think means animals that are awake 2 times a day, like instead of throughout. Because diurnal is like in the evening.
Oh, because nocturnal would be.
Yeah.
Nocturnal. So by
night.
Oh, look at this guy.
Oh. Latin roots are amazing. Do you know that sangria means bloodletting?
I also read Wikipedia. Beware the Ides of March.
Yeah, March is full of lies and deception, and honestly, it's pretty volatile. We're both I'm an Aries, you're a Taurus, and
I'm the better sign.
Both are known to be quite headstrong, and not necessarily aggressive, but just emphatic, you know, it's being born in the springtime usually associates you with, having passionate feelings.
It's the resilience. It's the changing of the weather. It's the uncertainty of it all.
Honestly, I think it's the privilege of being a couple months old and just being able to go outside. Like, If you think about it, if you're born in spring, you can't really do much of anything for those first, like, I don't know, 3 months. And then afterwards, your parents will at least, like, show you the sun. They'll be like, oh, it can drink water now, right?
You call him baby Zit. Yeah. There it goes.
They
change its diaper.
They don't have consciousness yet. They haven't absorbed the world around them.
And 50 years in the future, your kid's like, I remember when I was a baby once, my dad played this old podcast he was on and he called kids it. And I never forgot it.
Well, that'll be pretty ironic because that child will be named it.
You ever read the book A Child Called It?
No, never. That was actually a completely organic.
It's not good. It's not good. It's really bad.
I know it's bad.
It's really bad.
How bad it is. It's
you ever
But it's not the bad part of the movie or the book. It is the victim.
Yet you're still calling him it.
Well, I didn't read the book. I just read synopses.
Are there any big things in the spring for you?
Big
like events? Big things? But for me, spring is important. You got WrestleMania. You got...
Oh, yeah.
Yeah, WrestleMania is coming up. You got flowers blooming.
Flowers blooming, Metro booming.
I think COVID destroyed spring.
I think 2023 was like the first year that things actually started to recover. Whereas like the past 2 years, it was still, we were all kind of in like a headspace of spring where we were like, is it over? Is it safe to come outside now? Has the sun returned? But only until like last year, and even last year was a tentative reemergence. This year, I anticipate a lot more happening. I think there's gonna be a blossoming of social activity.
When it comes to memories of spring, though, how many of them are real? And how many of them are made up? Because we don't even know what spring is. So I wonder how many times...
What?
I wonder how many times that we as individuals, as people, look back in memories and we're like, yo, yeah, that happened during the spring. But it didn't. It just happened on a nice temperate day.
And we just associate it with the spring. That's interesting. That's an interesting... do you have any examples?
Okay. Let's see. No. Jurassic Park. When did that come out? I know I saw that with my mother for my birthday. But when I look it up...
In theaters?
It says like September or something.
Mm. Really?
But my birthday's not in fucking September.
It was that good.
But
that
I remember
in theaters
going. No,
months?
It came out then. It came out like the end of the year. Huh. But I remember very vividly going with my mother for my birthday.
Uh huh.
Spring is a lie. Music, movies. When was the last time a good movie came out during the spring?
None of
is
them.
Is July the spring?
July is not the spring. July is like as explicitly the summer.
There you go.
Yeah, no, I don't think spring exists.
No movies, no good music.
There is no music about spring.
Winter Part 2.
It's honestly, spring is just a remarketing of winter to try to dig into some of summer's like it's a clout chaser.
So this is my secret question. Are you happy?
In general?
That are you happy that climate change is doing away with spring? Do you sit inside of your house and go, meh, see? Spring is gonna be gone.
Meh.
I'm gonna leave the stove on.
Ooh, you're here, spring.
You're here leaving.
How dare you? One of these days.
Leaving the water on, smoking extra cigarettes, just contributing to climate change personally,
mm-hmm.
just in the hopes of eliminating spring.
I'm gonna take down spring one spliff at a time. I'm trying to
an excuse to drink sangria.
I feel
a
like
conversation about spring.
Spring for me is like if you ever watch like track runners, track and field or cross country, it's the last lap where it's like it's your burnout lap. In my head, spring is like, do everything you can in spring to try to set yourself up for an optimal summer and try to catch up all of the shit that you said you were going to do in the winter, but have been too seasonally depressed to do it. And then every now and then you think that like, because spring is starting to warm up, because it's starting to show signs of summer, that you're like, oh, I can emerge. I can bloom. Then comes another frost, and then you're like, "Fuck! This is just another setback. This was just a trap. This wasn't even trying to help me."
Every time you've fallen in love, was it ever in the spring?
Every time I've fallen in love has been a lot.
It snip. Text.
No, I find that I've fallen in love more in the winter months.
It's because it's cuffing season.
Yeah.
It's the cold. It's the hanging out of your house.
I have had more comeuppance in the spring.
Comeuppance. He says more comeuppance like it wasn't once, probably. It was twice.
Yeah.
I'm not laughing at you because you only had the sex that many times. It's just funny a little bit. Who cares? I don't care. Yes, I do. You're emasculated now. Ha ha ha.
But spring for me is, I feel like all the things that I've been avoiding from winter are put on display without the functionality of summer. And for that, I don't mind if spring just kind of dissolves.
But what happens to spring cleaning?
I do that.
No, without spring cleaning, then nobody will clean.
Ever?
And then things will just get dirty. Spring cleaning contributes to 98% of house cleanings.
But what about spring fever? Huh?
Oh, I'm going to tell you something.
Once you get spring fever.
We had that for 3 years.
Yeah. Oh, wow. I just kind of unlocked a core memory. Spring distinctly reminds me of this time I was in middle school, and I had a math teacher who gave the most boring lectures. She would say "mkay" a lot. Like, that was just kind of her filler word, was "mkay." And she would use it with reckless abandon to the point where at one point, I brought in a pitch counter, like a little clicker, to count, exactly how many times she would say
"mkay."
And I got up to like 40 in like a 30-minute class period.
That's her umming. That's her umming.
That's her umming.
Oh no.
But it wasn't just an it was a "mkay." And I did this because I was so fucking bored in this math class. And I was just staring out the window, seeing the sun shining, just wishing I could be anywhere but in that spot. So in order to make it just slightly redeemable, I was like, what if I just count this person's mannerisms? Do I tell them about it too? Is that?
I think that would be too far. Did you tell her?
No.
Because I would.
You'd afterwards just be like,
But I'd be so excited about it. What was her name?
Oh, what was it? Miss Inoue.
Miss Inoue. Miss Inoue. Oh. So this time, I know you were having trouble focusing, so I was focusing, but also I was fidgeting and I was counting the amount of times it's MK, and you did 46 times. Look! What? And she'd be so.
I've been paying attention so hard. You said MK 45 times. Dude, every time she talked to our class, it was as if she was talking to us about how we had to get a divorce. Like, her and the class had to get a... Like, that was the kind of energy she had. Was not that she was going through a divorce, but specifically, we were the ones she was mad at for it. And that's just a weird energy to have as a 7th grade geometry teacher.
Okay. I wonder.
Wow, that was deep ingrained. Oh,
you have any more deep core spring memories? I got one.
Yeah,
end of school year almost, right? Regents Week is like it's like a week and a half, 2 weeks, and I think that then you go back to school for a few days, then it's over. And I remember being outside of school, and my friend Lisa gets into a fight with my other friend Jasmine, and they were tussling. Fists were flying, clothes were tearing, and I was like 15 years old, and I was like, oh my God, what's happening? And I remember everybody being like, oh my God, they tore her shirt off. And I remember being like, but she's bashing her head against the ground.
Jeez, wait, how that was the takeaway?
Like, they're literally like, okay, they are still friends and they're really close. So it wasn't like that serious, but like they got into like a tussle in high school and they're like, fuck, they're fighting and tearing and like punching. And the people in the crowd are like, oh my God, her shirt came off. And I'm like, somebody help me break this up.
Well, that seems like pretty quintessential of the time period where people would just be like, oh, cat fight. Maybe someone's shirt gets torn
off.
Oh,
my God. There are the chicks fighting. Summer, it's fun. Summer is booze. I'm be honest. I might have had too many of these already.
Oh,
yeah, these are
the sangria's a flowing.
They're a packing. You know what you call these?
What's that?
Oh no, never mind.
Don't leave me in suspense.
Delicious.
Okay, I'll take it.
These are a lot like my ex. They're packing.
These are a lot like my ex. White. Well, because it's a white sangria.
But she goes, actually, I have a little color in there. I was near some strawberries once.
That still kind of works.
I was near an orange once. What do you think about the sangria?
I have a lot of lime friends.
What did you think about the excuse?
The excuse of sangria?
To make an entire... Chandler, what do you think about the excuse to make an entire episode about spring just so that we could again have sangria?
Brilliant.
Who cares about spring? Me, a little bit.
Fantastic execution on your part, really.
Okay. Quick question.
Yep.
Okay, right. Let's say that there was an excuse to drink. What would you talk about spring?
Wait,
I'm going to take the back. No. I too much sangria. If you were to make an episode about a season.
Yeah.
Just a stupid question. I love it. Okay. If you were going to make an episode about a season, what season would it be and why?
So when we do our fall episode, we're probably going to do something more along the lines of like an apple cider sangria.
I fell and I fell. Oh, damn it. That's like the beginning of a good pun for like an apple sangria.
Mm-hmm.
Because the apple fell.
The apple doesn't fall far from the sangria? Is that where you're going?
Yeah, because the apple fell and it's fall.
Oh.
And you're right. The apple didn't fall from the... Beautiful.
That would be a fun cocktail.
That.
Where it's like
you like that.
It's a cider. It's a little fortified with a little apple brandy. Maybe a little bourbon.
If you'd like to see us do different variations on sangria, wink, you know what to do.
If you could summarize the spring in two songs.
In two songs?
Not two songs.
Two songs in 6 minutes? Got you.
Yeah.
I played this for you the other day, Somewhere Over the Rainbow.
Oh, by Izzy. What is?
I don't want to disrespect him by saying his name wrong, even though he's passed. But he was a Hawaiian man, and he sang. He was a big guy. He had such a beautiful voice. And I remember in the early 2000s coming across that music video, and I know it seems weird, but him there with the ukulele, plucking that kind of earthy, warm, welcoming tone.
Yeah.
I know that it gets warm in Hawaii. I know that it gets cold, but the vibe, the energy feels like spring.
It's just kind of a big hug.
Somewhere with a rainbow.
Do you think that's like your that song fully encapsulates?
Well, that's one.
Cause yeah, I gave you two. As we were talking about,
I mentioned that one because
there's a dichotomy of spring. Is that one face of it?
That's my nostalgia.
Okay.
I think a lot of my spring songs tend to be R&B, yeah, or they tend to be neo-soul, and that's connected a lot to my mother. So winter is neo-soul for me sometimes. You know, summer is neo-soul, but I think that really the kind of warm, it's similar to that version of Somewhere Over the Rainbow, where it's like, it's temperate, it's warm, it's slow, it's calming, and it's guiding, right? You know?
Yeah.
You listen to a bunch of Erica, but you listen to like Other Side of the Game. It's not just connecting and warm, it's guiding. And so those are like similar, but there is a different side of spring. And for me, the other side of spring is actually like hard metal, like thrash.
Oh, hardcore. That's an intense.
You have to remember that I said to you that I met my ex in 2007 on 420, but I met her at a concert.
A 420 concert.
We met. I mean, it was every Friday. It was the third Friday of every month.
The concert had nothing to do with.
No, the third Friday of 2007 in April was 420.
That's neat.
That's just why. So we met and, you know, we met in a mosh pit.
I get what you're saying, though, because I, too, will associate some System of a Down songs to Spring.
It's wild. It's energetic. And it reminds me of going to events. So much so that if you're watching this, actually, on April... It's the week before Mania. It's the Monday. So if Mania is on the Monday, then it's like the 28th of March. The Silver Medal, which is one of the bands that I had been so connected to, they're doing a show at Lucky 13. And a lot of the people that I used to go to the concerts with in the Bronx are going to be there. Because that band is comprised of people from the Bronx. And it's happening effectively in spring. Because that's really when all those bands popped up. Because most of those bands came from Dave Rose's music class, right?
Hmm.
So Dave, Anita, and Adam. Dave used to go to the church. Anita and Adam were Jewish.
Mm-hmm.
When they first decided they wanted to do concerts, they used to go to Union Square, hand out flyers and stuff. And it was at one venue. But over time, because it was like a bar and it was like doing an all-ages concert, people started bugging out. So they were pushed out of there. But at the same time, they were doing the events in the church.
Okay.
Right? You can't imagine. At the end of the summer, there's nothing that beats getting on a bus or what I used to do and a lot of people used to do. I used to walk from the Fordham Library. If you know the Bronx.
Fordham? I hardly knew him.
I bet you.
Yeah, go on.
If I looked it up, it's something like 5, 6, 7 miles.
That's a good walk.
Across highways, across, you know, all the way from Fordham. Straight up Fordham. Past the Bronx Zoo. Which is also big. So it's like... Fordham Road to my old house is like 15 blocks.
Damn.
So it's that plus the distance of the Bronx Zoo, which is the Pelham Station, plus all the way to Pelham Bay Park, which is like a 30-minute walk, plus another 15 to 20-minute walk. And you would walk over there, hop the bus, and you would go out there, and you would see Conrad... And just running around, he used to do his thing. He's like, name 5 cereals. You know 5 cereals? You're like, fucking, they're smacking your fucking chest. And it was so silly. It was like really a lot of machismo with that. But he was like such a good dude. Unfortunately, he ended up taking his life. You know, God, Andrew, who actually I'm still friends with on Facebook, and his girlfriend Jennifer were super cool. They would be there, and you would go, and you would go up to people and be like, oh, can I borrow $5 to get in? Because it was $5 at the time. It was 5, then it was 8, then it was 10 because...
How much is it now? It's like 40. Oh.
Yeah. That's why the people could... It's a long story. But, you know, you would go there. And you would go there all throughout the year. But the spring stands out because I remember a lot of the cold winters. Mm-hmm. But when I was doing the cold winters, that was when I was part of the staff. I'm like scanning people. I'm like bundled up. I remember the summers, hot, sweltering, right? Also fun. You go into the basement of the church, people are playing the music, and you're surrounded, you're drenched in sweat, you know? But the spring, I remember going there and being like, I only need $2 to get in. Who has a dollar? Who has a dollar? And they would give you the dollar, and you would go inside, and you would have fun. You would be connected with the thing that was happening. And I remember being like, I want to be a part of this. So I was like, what can I do? How can I be a part of this?
And?
I was staffed there for a long time. I was staffed there so long that when Fernando and all the Fox and the King people, Fox and the King, shout out, when they first started doing the Underground, which effectively was in the same place, it was kind of like revigorating and bringing it back. I was there. Of course, I will travel from Brooklyn. I will take the four train all the way to 125th, transfer to the 6, and then take the 6 to the last stop, and then walk 20 minutes.
Jesus.
Because I wanted to be a part of that. Because in a weird way for me, that place is spring.
That's very sweet. I think that's a good note to wrap up on. That's just very sentimental. And
that's why I like spring. If you have any stories about spring, if you have any ideas or thoughts about spring, winter, summer, it seems weird and strange to talk about a season. It's effectively like talking about the weather, but it's more than that. It's about the way that you connect, the way that you experience the life that you live. So what I want you to do is hit the comments. Let me know, since it's about to be spring, or actually, it's spring now.
It's spring is sprung.
Since it's spring, let me know your memories, your thoughts, your feelings.
Your songs, your drinks, your underwear.
Chandler?
Yeah?
How you doing?
I'm grooving.
How you feel about the sangria?
Oh, it's fantastic. And I cannot wait to kill the rest of this box of wine.
That has been, was it in good taste? We're wine colors. We're killing the wine, killing the box of wine.
Oh, killers. I thought you said colors, and I'm
no,
like,
no, we're well, killers.
I guess I'm a rosé.
I like that salmon. Actually, I'll be honest, I think I look better at that than you.
It's probably.
It's a skin tone thing.
That's because I haven't seen the sun. Give me just 3 months with a little bit of UV, and I will pop in this.
If you want to find out more about what I'm doing, make sure that you go to my TikTok at Living Dad Joke. Every Wednesday at 3, I watch this podcast live with some of my closest friends, some of my favorite community. I'm always streaming Mondays at 8. Head to my TikTok to find out more. Fridays and Wednesdays with Chandler usually at 8. So come through, have fun, and be well. What are you doing, Chandler?
You can find me featuring, doing little pop-ups on your live regarding AEW.
It's Dynamite. Collision Saturday.
Okay. I lose track of them. There's so many wrestling. There is. You can find me there. You can find me on TikTok, also promoting this show. You can find me also just in and around Brooklyn. I'm going to be doing stand-up again. I'm getting back into it. I'm coming out of my cage, and I'm doing probably could be better.
I've had too much sangria. I'm just coming. Do me a favor. Go down. Hit the link tree. Follow the podcast. Wrestling with Friends. Was it in good taste? I know our good job is dropping soon. And remember,
drinking is not required,
but it is recommended. Man, I love talking about spring.
Spring is lovely. And you know what's really good? Those strawberries with the banana into it.
Like, I'm not gonna lie.